You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hey everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the $1 Million Man. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here because you're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts. And remember, everybody's got a price for the $1 Million Man.
This is Don West here, and I'm telling you, Knockouts and Three Counts is the podcast, baby. Make sure that's the one you check out, because, buddy, like me, they're the real deal, baby.
This is Jake the Snake Roberts. Just letting you know, you need to listen to Knockouts and Three Counts, or you'll see that damn snake again.
This is the Ring of Honor World Television Champion, a.k.a. Shane T. Boy, the baddest champion you ever seen, boy. And you're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts.
What up, though, everybody? This is Kyle, and you are listening to...
Knockouts and Three Counts. Oh, you let me do it this time.
I let you do it. I thought I'd make you feel happy for the day. Tony, yeah. Throw out your social media before we get to our special
guest. Yo, I'm Tony Thunder. You can find me on social media. I'm Tony Thunder.
You can find me at Detroit Knockout, Detroit, N-O-K-O-U-T. Make sure you're following the show at KO3CPod on Twitter and Instagram, KO3CPod.com, where you can see the full backlist of all of our interviews, even including one with Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Yeah. And without any further ado, you just heard him on our intro. We've got the return of Ring of Honor star Shane Taylor. How you doing, brother, man?
I'm good. But see, here's the thing, man. I'm not a Ring of Honor star. I'm a Shane Taylor promotion star.
Excuse me.
It happens to be working with Ring of Honor, so
a few things have changed.
Hell yeah. We're going to get into that for sure, because some things have definitely changed since the last time we had you on the show.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So why don't we start right there, Tony? So since the last we saw you, you know, there's been the formation of Shane Taylor Promotions. You know, we just saw a couple weeks ago on Ring of Honor TV, you know, you made quite the demand to Joe Koff and telling him you wanted both a title shot for yourself and a six-man tag team title shot for you and the Sons of Silence, man. So tell us, what prompted the whole Shane Taylor Promotions move?
Sons of Savagery, by the way.
Jesus Christ.
For me, it was simple. You know, I am a guy that doesn't do well being on anybody's sideline, on anybody's bench, right? So when I can see that I'm not being put on these posters, when we're going to these towns, and even as the Ring of Honor World
telling a lie to your vision.
Right, bro, killing me. But even as the TV champ, you know, my matches aren't being announced. I'm not, you know, anywhere to be seen for people to go, oh, well, what's Shane up to? What is he doing? They don't know. And, you know, being champion at the time, that was extremely frustrating, because I'm sitting here going, okay, if I'm not champ, that's one thing. But now I am champion, and you're still not you're still not doing all this stuff yet. Any other company that you want to work with, you have no problem promoting. Okay, cool. If that's what it takes, then I'll make my own company, and I'll do it myself. And that's what I did.
There it is. Let me ask you a question, man. With Black History just recently being over, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people talk about black cards being taken and stuff. I'm doing that, Kyle. I'm turning it down. Okay. I'm turning my phone down, man. It's being played, and you know, why don't you tell the people about why you hate Hennessy?
Why don't I tell them why I hate Hennessy?
Yes.
See, here's the thing. I don't hate Hennessy. I just don't like it.
Okay.
I feel like a lot of us, especially black folks, like we get conditioned into thinking in monoliths, right? Like you're around people for so long and you do certain things and that's just expected for you to go along with it. You know what I mean? If 9 out of 10 people around you drink Hennessy, you feel like you're the odd person out if you don't.
I mean, you don't feel like Hennessy is trash?
It's just not good. It's not good. And on top of that, nothing ever good comes from drinking Hennessy.
Boom.
Name me one time you were like, oh, I drank all this Hennessy and we had a great night. Never. It's always, yo, we got into a fight or this happened or this happened. Hennessy is, it doesn't lead to anything positive. You could go drink 1,000 margaritas, right?
Right.
Have a good time. Everybody around you is going to have a good time. Go drink 1,000 shots of Hennessy. Like, you know what I mean? Go drink 10 shots and tell me how your night went. You know what I mean? Like, it's just
you
not.
You can't compare cocktails like a margarita to just shots of liquor like Hennessy. If you're going to make a margarita out of tequila, make a sidecar out of your Hennessy.
I mean, you could, but the thing is, it's just sometimes it's just that alcohol. You know what I mean?
It's just
like
Hennessy.
Some people can drink light and be good. Some people drink dark and they lose their mind. It's just, it is what it is.
All right, man. Well, I got one more question before I pass it back to Kyle. You know, why is it that you don't believe that Outkast could take out Rakim and KRS-One in a tag team battle?
Fam, you're talking about two of the greatest MCs of all time?
Hey, we're talking about Outkast, man. We're talking about the duo.
Rakim and KRS-One, who are known for battle rap, I just don't see it. I'm not saying that Outkast wouldn't hold their own. I'm not saying that they wouldn't make it, you know, a slugfest for 12 rounds, but fam, if you had to put your cash on somebody, I'm going with the goats, man. Like you have to. That's like asking if you had to put cash on a one-on-one basketball game, who are you going to pick?
Brian. That's me personally, though.
Right. Okay. And a lot of people would be like, all right, Jordan, and Bron might win some. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to get shut out, but you know, a lot of people feel like, you know, at least 55% of the time, You're going Jordan. So
I'm a firm believer that Jordan wouldn't be Jordan without Pippen, but that's a whole different conversation.
100%. Hey, 100%.
Hey, 100%.
Hey, just let me know I can kill Tony's mic anytime.
No, you're all good, dude. You're all good. It's bringing some flavor to the show, man. You know, it's funny you say that because all your questions about who would win in a fight between coronavirus and Ebola with PCO and shit, that was one of the main things people were asking us about after the fucking show.
That'd be a good fight. Like, you got Ebola versus Corona. That's a good fight.
I feel like Ebola has the track record to back up its stats, whereas I don't think that's the case, you know, as of yet. But, you know, every 2 years, something's going to kill us all. So, you know what I mean? It is what it is.
Speaking of track records, you know, you just had quite a hell of a run as a TV champ, baddest TV champ you've ever seen. So, I mean, all you got to do is listen to our intro. He'll tell you for himself.
Damn right.
As we go into 2020, you got a new decade. Like I said a little bit earlier, you know, you've laid out quite the year for yourself as it is, with already having the two title shots and stuff like that. So, what's your mindset for 2020? You just trying to take all the Ring of Honor gold here, or is there a bigger picture to it?
There's always a larger picture at stake, and for me, everybody thinks, you know, I'm just trying to grab all this gold for individual gain. And the thing is, for me, and I just did an interview about this, you know, there's still such a far way to go for African-American performers in this sport. And on the national and international stage that I'm on, I want to be able to show and lead in and usher in a new generation of stars and show exactly what we can be, you know, in any sport. You know, the common description is, oh, they're a beast, they're athletic, they're, you know, super athletes, the best pure athletes and all this stuff, forgetting the fact that, you know, some of the smartest people in the world are Black people. Some of the best inventions, if not a lot of them, that we use today, invented by Black people. So for me, I want to be able to not just showcase the physicality of myself and my guys, but the intelligence as well. Every single person in Shane Taylor Promotions is college educated. All of us are incredibly smart. Every move is calculated. So for me, this is about putting a new face on what we can be in this sport. I am done with the old stereotypes. I'm done with shouting and jiving and the dancing. I'm done with the dancing. I'm done with all that stuff. To me, it's played. It really has no more room in our sport. You know, I'm not going to knock the way anybody makes their money. It's just for me personally and the people that I'm around, the people that I associate with, we are tired of being put in boxes. And so now it's time to do what we do and shatter that glass ceiling.
With that being said, is there anybody that you have your eyes on that you would like to get in Shane Taylor Promotions? Is there anybody you've been looking at, you know, per se, that you got your eye on?
Of course. There's people all around the world. You know what I mean? But if we're talking about exclusively in ROH, there's, you know, Eli Isom had a hell of a match against Bully, showed a lot of heart. I've been in the ring with him before. I know just how much he brings to the table, and with, you know, being guided the right way, could be a champion for sure in ROH. When you look at, you know, some of the people that they have in the dojo, so much talent down there. Gia Scott comes to mind. There's so many talented people all around the world. You know, it would be, we could sit here all day and name them all, but there's a lot of people on a list that I want to check out, and we'll be adding some names here soon.
Nice.
So, just because he happened to just tune into the stream, so you, I read the interview that you were talking about. First of all, great interview. But with that said, you know, did you get to see any of the Wrestling with Stereotypes panels that have happened, both at StarCast and, you know, they're going to be doing another one here WrestleMania weekend?
I have not gotten to see them. I've heard great things, but I have not yet seen them. I think Faye Jackson is doing one.
Faye Jackson's on the one Mania weekend with Big Swole, and I don't remember the whole lineup, but I know them two for sure, at least from the wrestling world, are on that, as well as Mega Ran will be on there again, I think. Reason I bring it up, man, and I just, if you look in the comments, I just threw it out there to Kel, dude, I think you would be perfect for that. Like, especially after reading that interview that you just did, man. Like, you talk about a lot of the things and the different stereotypes that you see in wrestling, and especially in directly towards African Americans. For you, you know, now that it's 2020 and you're starting to see a little bit more of, you know, African Americans getting a little bit more of a shot, but at the same time, you're not seeing it on such a mainstream basis. What are some of the biggest things that you see as a whole that you would like to see changed in the wrestling business as it pertains to stuff like that?
And see, you know, no, here's the thing, and this is, like I said in the interview, you know, people need to stop making the mistake that just because a few people win championships, that somehow the sport has changed or the ideology has changed. You know, we've always been able to be second best or be promoted in certain aspects, you know, if you do certain things with your character. And a lot of that is based on how society feels, you know, and what they're comfortable with and what they're used to. But a lot of society is misinformed, you know? So when you talk about, when you market to people, you know, who think that black people are thugs and, you know, this and that, or can just be athletes, and you put that in your programming, all you're doing is reaffirming stereotypes, right? And those things are popular and they sell because that's what people already think. That's what they're used to, right? But then you change it up, and I would like to personally see more depth of character. All of us can be anything that our counterparts can be. We can be the intelligent, you know, bad guy who outsmarts the world. We can be that heroic, you know, good guy that can overcome every obstacle. We can do everything and be every sort of character under the sun, just like our counterparts. All we need to do is be able to find the platforms to be able to utilize that, and the patience to be able to teach fans a new way of thinking, especially when you think about the fact that, you know, there's so much talent out there. You mentioned Faye Jackson, you mentioned Big Swole, you have people like Keith Lee, Swerve, Isaiah Scott, you know, formerly Shane Strickland, guys like myself, technical wizards like John Gresham and Lethal, excuse me. You've got, you know, one of the most energetic performers I've ever seen in Kenny King. You know what I mean? You have the ability to showcase any aspect of the culture that you want to showcase it makes no sense to only showcase the same two or three in whatever variation you can come up with. But, you know, when you think about the landscapes right now, how many dancing characters do you see? You can look at them in just about every promotion. Different variations of whatever. And once again, this is not to knock how anybody makes their, how they make their cash. I don't care how you take care of your family. Do what you have to do.
Well, let me ask you this one second. Let me jump in right quick.
We can change it.
Do you think it's just a focus on more so of black people from what we went through in this country? Do you think wrestling on a bigger scale usually targets a demographic and then just kind of exploit the stereotype of it?
I think it's probably more of the latter, but I know tons of people who are wrestling fans, who are minorities, who are black, who are just waiting to see something that they can connect with.
Right.
You know, it's hard to look on your screen every night and not see anything that you can resonate with, or it's the same thing over and over. People get tired of that. And that, to me, is what I want to change. That's what, you know, is so important to me about myself and Shane Taylor Promotions, to be able to showcase who we are on a platform, you know, and not have any of the stereotypes, not have any of the glad handing, not have any of the stuff that's been, you know, saddled to us and the box put around us, you know, since the inception of this sport. I want to be able to give all fans, but especially African American fans, what they want to see in this sport. And that, to me, is what I'm trying to do.
So you've got quite the opportunity to be able to do just that, because as we've mentioned here a couple times, you know, you've got a chance here that in 2020 you could pretty much control most of the Golden Ring of Honor. So with you having your shot coming up here with the world title, first of all, I'm not going to say if you win, when you win, whenever you decide to cash that in. How do I word this? So when you get this match against Roosh or whomever it might be that's holding the title at that point, first of all, how do you feel how you match up with Roosh? But second of all, when you win the title, how do you feel that that's going to give you
the power to change it?
Because now you're going to have, at least in the Ring of Honor scope, you're going to have them in your hands, because if you get the world title, then you got your shot at the six-man titles. I mean, theoretically.
What's your plan of what next after you win the title? What's your first step?
Well, see, this is the thing. I'd be a very poor businessman if I gave you guys my entire strategy. I wouldn't.
Fair point. Fair point, sir.
But for me, I feel like I match up well with anybody on the roster, you know. I didn't say that I'm the baddest champion you ever seen outside of these people. No, I'm the baddest champion you ever seen. I have been through more. It means more to me. And my goals and my aspirations and my why is bigger than anybody else's. So for me, whether it is a technical person that I have to bring, that I have to get in the ring with, I'm ready for it. If it's an animal like Roosh, I'm ready for it. If it's anybody, I'm ready for any and everything. You know, I am already training harder than I ever have. I've got a bunch of things in place right now that, when I'm ready to cash in that shot, whoever is the world champion, or hell, I mean, it is a world championship shot of my choosing, so it may be even the TV title again to make history that way and become a two-time champ. You know, there's only a handful of guys who have ever done that. But for me, when I am ready, they will be getting the best and the baddest version of Shane Taylor there's ever been. I definitely promise you that.
Let me ask you this. It's getting back a little bit more into being a black in pro wrestling and what we go through in our struggles and things like that. What do you say to the people who consider things like Kofi winning or Obama becoming president as a formality to say that racism is no longer here or that racism is dead or no longer exists? Because we've seen in certain cases that if you look deep enough into Twitter, you'll see Kofi, getting a lot of hatred for him winning. So, you know, fast forward to you being Ring of Honor champion, you're trying to change this. What do you say to the people who say that racism no longer exists and not being able to see the true hatred that's still there?
Well, this is how I word it, right? You have millionaires who are black. Does that mean that poverty is over? No. You know what I mean? Like, right. We can look in, you know, even still in Flint. You know what I mean? Like, I alluded to that in the interview. It shouldn't be up to Jaden Smith to bring a city water.
Shout out to Jaden Smith, the greatest young rapper 21 years under. Jaden Smith is the greatest rapper alive 21 years under.
Incredible things. Him, Will, the whole Smith family. Like, it shouldn't be up to them, though, to bring a city water. That's why we have people that we vote for, right? So you can have some people. It's the law of averages. Some people are going to have success. If there was a system in which nobody could, then the ability to deny what it is would be astounding, right? But when you can have just enough make it, or just enough be able to be in positions to where it fuels conversations like that, then, you know, you're going to have people who think that those things are over and done with, but those people aren't educated to how things work, nor have they ever been in situations where they would recognize the things that they're talking about. You know what I mean? So there's still a long way to go in every aspect, but specifically in pro wrestling, there is still leaps and bounds to go. I am, you know, overjoyed at the success that, you know, Kofi has had, that The Rock has had, and so many others. But there's still a lot more to go. You know what I mean? And right, I know my generation, a lot of us feel that maybe the generation before us, you know, has had some success, but then forgot about the rest of us coming after them. You know what I mean? But we're here to make sure that our voices are heard, and that we not only open the doors for those after us, but kick them down.
And I think being heard is one of the biggest things that comes with shining a light on such an ugly thing at the same time. To go a little bit deeper, you know, to really dig deep into an issue, my question would be, if you had Avant and Kid Cudi in a Cleveland street fight. No, this is a Cleveland street fight between Avant and Kid Cudi, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who coming out on top? No prep time, just straight out.
You know what, fam? I'm going to say Avant.
Oh.
Not because
Avant giving Cudi them hands?
Hold on. Not because I don't think Cudi can scrap. It's because in the hood, at least growing up, if you could sing, people automatically thought you were soft. Right. So I feel like Avant's been tested more than Cudi. So I feel like no prep time. Just throw hands on the spot.
That's
I
good
think
logic.
Avant would be more ready.
That's good logic.
I mean, that's a damn good point, because how many times you see in a fight where a guy gets thrown in there on 2 days' notice, or just a street fight?
Imagine a dude singing while he beating your ass. They gotta be the
that's gotta be demoralizing.
That's gotta be worse. That's gotta be worse than a man licking the blood off your neck while you're in the corner.
No, dude, that's bad.
Drake even said it. You getting bodied by a singing homie? Come on, bro.
Yeah.
If someone was singing falsetto while jabbing you in the face, it's a rap, fam.
Yeah, you might as well lick his neck while he in the corner. I mean, lick the blood off his neck while he in the corner.
Just ask Tyson Fury.
So he's beating your ass and probably serenading your girl, too.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Your blood, like the blood got your face wet, her panties wet. It's just not, it's like a bad combination of getting your ass beat.
You would have to move.
You got your ass beat in falsetto.
You can't stay in the city after that.
Hey, man. If you're in the market, man, and you're looking to move, man,
yes.
If you need to move, check out the homies at Stransky & Company Realty. Stransky & Company is a top-producing real estate team which specializes in individual strategy, over-the-top service, and continued success for their clients. They're the real estate easy button. If you're looking to buy, sell, or invest, call them at 248-563-9449 or email them at admin@stranskyandcompany.com and follow them at all their social medias, which you can find if you go to our website at ko3cpod.com or Stransky & Company on Twitter and Instagram. See how I did that there?
Get yourself a house.
Hell yeah, get a house.
You are welcome for that segue, my guy.
Hey, man.
I'm the segue.
Hey,
I like it.
Hey, man, I've been trying to, you know, we've done these StarCasts over here, and I always be hearing Conrad trying to do that shit, so I figured I needed to brush up on my commercial game.
Word.
He did it.
I like it.
So, with that being said, I got another question, totally out of the box from Ring of Honor.
It's about houses? Oh, okay.
It's not about houses. Mm-hmm. So, we've seen all the stuff you've been doing with Ring of Honor, but we've seen Ring of Honor's been kind of mixing it up a little bit with NWA. You know, you've got yourself a group now. You've got Strictly Business over there.
CMLL as well.
CMLL. I mean, what are your thoughts on a potential Shane Taylor Promotions takeover of, I don't know, NWA?
I mean, we're down for anything as long as the price is right. You know what I mean? But again,
like Bob Barker used to be.
Right. But there's a lot of factors that go into play with that. You know what I mean? And shout out to, since we're on the subject, shout out to Ricky Starks. He's the homie.
Nice.
Right now holding it down for us there at NWA.
He's a TV champ, right?
Yeah.
He might be the only African American on the roster, if I'm not mistaken. But he's doing an incredible job there. And you know, if he ever needs some help, you know what I mean? If he ever needs someone to have his back, or you know, we'll be there.
So could we see him? So you're saying there's a possibility that, you know, Shane Taylor Promotions could be over at NWA scouting people as well?
Anything is possible.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
Anything is possible. Right. You know what I mean? I mean, for me, I'm all about big paydays. So while I know a lot of people are trying to, you know, win both world championships at the same time, I definitely see there being some sort of thing in the future where if I were to have that as well to challenge for that championship, because as I said, you know, I'm here to make history. I don't want to wait 20 years from now for me to be put on Mount Rushmore. I want to be on there now. So if I were to make history as becoming only the second man, the second African American male to win a Ring of Honor world title, and then go and be the second man ever in history, as far as being an African American male to win the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, hold them simultaneously. I don't see why that wouldn't make me one of the greatest of all time.
That'd be hard to disagree with. Those accolades would be hard to disagree with.
I was going
to
say, that's a hard one to really deny, man. I mean, if you're racking up titles like that, I mean, the resume speaks for itself. So,
100%.
Like we said, you know, you've also got, you know, we talked about, you know, there being the groups over there in NWA and Ring of Honor. How do you see yourself stacking up with some of these? Because I know you've, you know, you've had your tangles with the guys from Villain Enterprises over there in Ring of Honor. But, you know, in NWA, right, they got Strictly Business. You know, you've got Roosh and Kenny, your boy Kenny King, and all of them are together as well. You know, how do you feel your new group is going to match up to some of these trios? And, you know, how do you feel that that stacks you guys up for these six-man titles?
Bro, we can run with anybody. You know, you have myself, Moses, two big guys, both very athletic, both very intelligent. Con is a wild card. The guy is strong, he's fast, he's quick, he's smart. His reaction time is second to none. They play off of each other so well. They know each other in and out, as you would expect of any great tag team. So for us, you put all that talent on one side, it would take one hell of a team to beat us. And if they were, they definitely wouldn't do it again. So we stack up with everybody very nicely. And it's just a matter of time before we do what we came here to do.
All right.
Making history this year.
With that being said, you know Shane Taylor Promotions is all about big pimping, that big dollar, right? It's all about the money.
It's all about the money, man. All right. We secure the bag. So, and everybody eats, man.
So for $5 million, $5 million,
oh, shit,
would you rather fight a grizzly bear that got no teeth and no claws, or four fully equipped, what's the word I'm looking for? The little bears.
Cubs?
No, the little gray bears.
Koala bears?
Koala bears. Thank you.
equipped,
four fully equipped koala bears. Or a grizzly bear with no teeth and no claws, and it's a fight to the death. You got $1 million if you win. What's Shane Taylor Promotions going for?
Bare hands?
Bare hands. He ain't got no claws, it's just bare
grizzly
hands.
Grizzly.
Oh, he going for the grizzly. You going to choke him out? Is that what you're going for?
Dude, koalas are full of chlamydia.
What the fuck? Koalas are...
using claws to really scratch you up or anything like that. I feel like you're putting the bear at a huge disadvantage. I feel like he's got to have one or the other.
Well, you could always just do what Randy's talking about. All right,
then let me ask you, would you rather have the claws or the teeth?
I'd rather have the claws.
Oh.
Because if all it takes is one thing to your neck, you know what I'm saying? It's a wrap. You can
he can't swipe his face at you, though. He can't swipe his face at you.
Huh?
He can't swipe his face at you.
Right.
And plus, Koala Blair is giving people chlamydia and stuff. That's what our producer Randy just said. So you definitely don't want to fight those little motherfuckers.
Some populations of koalas have 100%
infection rate. Because koalas are unpredictable. Like, no one knows what koala fights look like in the wild. They can be crazy as hell. You know what I'm saying? And then four of them?
I'm now scared of koala bears.
You don't even want to be in.
And I have a fear of koala bears. Like, I'm going to have bad dreams that koala bears come.
He's
going to
have nightmares of koala bears.
Attack me and give me chlamydia and shit. What sound they make?
Bro, I can't do it.
Come on, man. You got to do it now. You got to do it now.
Come on. Oh, my God.
I got it. All right. Hold on. Wait. So I'm going to find this. The noise.
So you find the koala bear sounds. I'm going to keep us on track. So since we all know you're not afraid of a good scrap, and we're talking about licking the blood off of people's necks.
That's nasty.
Please tell me what your thoughts were on the Tyson Fury Wilder fight.
What my thoughts were?
Yeah,
what
did you think? What was your honest opinion on the fight?
As a boxing fan, I knew that Fury had a pretty good chance to win because I feel he is the better boxer of the two. What held out hope for Wilder for me was the fact that his right hand is just a gift from the gods, right? So I didn't see how Fury could avoid that for 12 rounds, but Fury coming in a little bit heavier, changing trainers, leaning on Wilder, closing the distance, making it damn near impossible for him to extend that hand and get that power shot, was an intelligent game plan. He did exactly what he had to do. There's a lot of asterisks to this because I've then seen videos of him like with these gloves that are super floppy and things of that sort. So there may be some things that come out later. Not saying he did. I'm not saying he cheated or anything.
I saw the floppy gloves too.
Taking a look at.
But did you see they had a problem with Wilder's gloves too, man? Like right before the fight, he got his gloves like 20 minutes before the fight because the first pair didn't work. They had to get him a second pair. Like they showed it in the pre-fight. They were they were trying to do that. So there was a bunch of crazy shit with that.
Speaking of crazy shit, this is how koalas sound.
Here's a question though, real quick. Did anybody see them Shaq and Fury's gloves?
Oh my God. You really went and found the koala sound, Jesus Christ.
He went from when he showed up at the building, his entrance coming out.
Damn it, Tony. This motherfucker
sounds like a motherfucking dinosaur.
I guess that's how koalas sound.
Nope.
Hell no, I don't. I'm with you, Shane. I'm good on the koalas, bro.
Damn, nature, you scary.
I have no problem with what you just said at all because you are 100% right. They didn't show Fury's gloves getting checked at all, so I have no problem with that at all. I mean, that's a fair point. I got no argument.
And then you had Wilder, who looked he was pacing back and forth. That's what tired his legs out too, in my opinion, not his costume.
I agree.
Him pacing back and forth, and that could have been because they're all in his ass about these gloves and checking every single detail, but they're not over there checking Fury. So he could have been like, "Yo, why are y'all messing with me and not Fury?" And that could have played a huge role in being agitated and tense before the fight, which if you're tense before a fight, you're going to gas sooner because your emotions are high.
Totally fair.
I mean, there's a lot there, man. There's a lot there.
Do you believe the shit about the suit, though?
No.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I agree with every point you just made, especially when you're talking about the gloves. I agree 110% because I believe that that's something that needs to be fair on both sides, because if those gloves aren't I mean, look at how many people have died in the ring because of shit like that, because it's a known fact you take more shots to the head in boxing than you do in MMA. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's just a fact. But to me, and again, shameless plug, especially with us being from Detroit, I think a lot of the story to that fight for me was Fury's decision to switch to Kronk, because you could see it in the way that he boxed in the first fight after he got up, and you could see it in the second fight. And personally, I think if anything, what that fight showed to me is Deontay Wilder showed that he's a beautiful, he's got a hell of an athlete, he's got a hell of a knockout shot that nobody can argue, but it showed how much he just tried to time the other guy instead of setting it up the way, you know, Fury would do with the boxing and things like that. So my biggest hope coming out of this fight is that Wilder takes this and says, oh shit, you know, I need to work on the actual skill of the boxing game, because I think that's what lost him that fight. That's just me.
Any early predictions for July?
100%. And this is the thing with that too, right? Wilder, and you get these guys, Tyson included, who later on in their careers, they aren't as adaptable as they were when they were younger, because something's been working so long. So they've been bailed out by it so many times, the fact that they could just kind of be one-punch artists, right? And so then you get into a situation like that where it doesn't work, and now you've got to re-strategize. And I understand, you know, and people were giving them all kinds of hell for the costume, excuse, and all that. And true, I'm like, eh, it's a bad excuse. But like I was telling one of my boys, when you are at that level of being a fighter, you're walking around one of the baddest dudes on the planet, right?
Yeah.
And you are knocking out other grown men, other professionals who are all bad dudes. I don't care what. As a pro boxer,
hold on. Let me ask you this. Let's say you are the baddest fighter in the world. You're the baddest boxer in the game. You undefeated.
Right.
You know what I mean? You happen to suffer a loss that was so bad, it was just horrible, and your homie came up to you. Or let's say your homie was the baddest fighter in the world. All right, let's switch it. You know what I mean? Your boy is Wilder. Your boy's Deontay Wilder. You go up to him after the fight and say, man, how you let him lick on your neck like that? And he looked at you with a straight face and said, because my costume was too heavy. What would you say to him? Like, as like man to man, what would you say to him? Like,
well, hold on, because you're jumbling a lot of those details. Right?
I know, right?
he blamed the loss on the costume, him getting his necklace.
I know. I'm just saying, though.
To be honest, here's the thing: while you're that close and you're bleeding and you're moving, he doesn't know if that's his glove. He doesn't know what that is. So I'm sure he didn't feel it.
I'm sure he didn't feel it.
That's a tongue on his neck. You know what I mean? I'm sure he was just moving. He probably didn't even feel the shit. Like, but yeah, that's, I don't know. Like, I question Fury more than I question Wilder.
Uh-oh. Shane, you there? Uh-oh.
There we go.
No, there we go. I got my voice now.
But, first off, why would you lick another man's neck in a fight? You know what I mean? Like,
oh, secondly, come on, man.
You lick the blood off his neck, man? Like, come on.
I'm not going to lie, dude. I looked at that shit and was like, what the fuck was that? So who do you got in the rematch? They've announced it for July. Who do you got? You think Fury takes it again, or do you think Wilder's going to be able to get it together and get his belt back?
If Wilder doesn't change anything, he's getting beat again. But I did hear that Floyd reached out to Wilder and told him that he had a game plan to beat Fury. So if Wilder trains with Floyd, there's no better boxer, there's no better defensive fighter than Floyd. I feel like he goes there, trains with Roger, trains with Floyd. I say I'd give him the edge.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just feel like when you're around guys like that, guys that win like that, you can't help but, you know, bring that energy.
I can't argue that at all, because we shared that thing that was reported off of TMZ off of our page on Facebook and all that with that that whole article with Floyd. Another name that popped up to me is, what if we saw Deontay Wilder go mess with somebody like Freddie Roach?
Could be, you know, and he's got that with Pacquiao. But I know Freddie is, you know, getting older in age as well, and I think his health is, you know, not the best. So I think training with a younger guy like Floyd, with Roger there, with that expertise, I mean, and Floyd's beaten, he's beaten Freddie's guys too. So, I mean, with all things being equal, I feel like Floyd is the better option.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, who better to help promote than Floyd?
Let me ask you this. Why do you think that Floyd Mayweather could beat Roy Jones Jr. in his prime?
That's a tough one, bro. Hold on.
You said that, didn't you?
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, damn, that's a hell of a statement, sir.
I could have sworn you said that,
man.
I was going to say, that's a hell of a statement.
Pound for pound.
Floyd is the number one boxer, yes, but not, you can't put a matchup out there like that.
Pound for pound.
You can't put words in my mouth like that. I got all kind of people calling me. You said Floyd could be the prime. That's not what I said.
Just make all the stuff about Ring of Honor. We'll just make that the title for the video. Shane Taylor says. Like, Shane Taylor says that Floyd Mayweather would get by Roy Jones Jr.
Roy Jones Jr. in his prime may be the scariest individual to ever put on a pair of gloves, man. Like
next to Mike Tyson.
I mean, that motherfucker's scary. 21-year-old Mike, maybe, yeah. But bro, you're talking about throw 5 left hooks in a second, Roy Jones. You're talking about
Hit four at least 4 out of 5.
Speed unmatched. You know what I mean? Power unmatched. Hit a guy with a right hand, put him into a coma, Roy Jones. You know what I mean? Like, that dude is. He was ridiculous, and I feel like he doesn't get the respect that he deserves because he was in an era where boxing was kind of on the downside. But man,
I look at Roy Jones Jr. the same way I look at Allen Iverson. Like most people don't give Iverson his credit for
that's a fair being point. You know that's I mean? A fair so. Point. That's a very fair point.
Yeah,
and I can see the parallel there for sure. So.
Oh yeah.
Did anyone else besides me notice the irony of since we were just talking about that with the Wilder Fury fight and we just mentioned Tyson? Did anybody else but me when I saw Fury lick the blood off his neck think, how the fuck are you going to do that when you just had fucking Mike Tyson get in the ring and your ears all fucked up? And you know, like it was just like I looked at that, I'm like, what the fuck, man? I don't know.
It's not that's a tough one cuz it's not really the same thing. And I think Tyson did that. Fury did his out of enjoyment, whereas I think Tyson did his out of frustration from getting head-butted by Holyfield for 2 fights and no one said anything.
Very fair point.
You know what I mean?
Dude.
So I think that was him just kind of.
There's a Mandela effect about that fight. Like, some people remember, like, the whole top part of his ear getting bit off, but it was only, like, a tiny little piece.
Yeah, a piece of your ear gone is a piece of your ear gone. I'm not going to.
And there's no cornucopia
light of that, but
in the fruit of the moon.
It wasn't like he bit half his ear off. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that is malarkey.
Shane just missed that.
Robin, what?
So, right, is
say that again, Randy.
Another thing is there's no cornucopia in the Fruit of the Loom logo.
Where the just fuck the fruit. Did that come from?
It's Mandela effect. I remember most of his ear getting bit off, not a little piece. I remember, like Shane was saying, a piece of your ear is a piece of your ear. But still.
Right.
Dude. I don't remember no little ass piece.
I mean, yeah, but there was a lot of blood, though, so I feel like some of that could be what your imagination remembers, too.
Your ear is all cartilage, so, I mean, so it's going to bleed. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
bad.
It's going to bleed, but at the same time, it's like, I think the media spin, I mean, and it's a crazy thing to do, so I get it. You know, I can't fault them for doing the things the way they did, but. It wasn't like, you know what I'm saying? Like he didn't like Van Gogh his shit. You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is.
Hey man, I got, like I said, I have no, argument to any of this, and I feel like Shane would be somebody good to come in the next time we do like a full fight based one, dude, just based off of what I'm hearing right here. So I'm definitely going to have to keep you in mind for that the next time we break down one of these big fights. But
For sure. I'd love boxing.
Hey, man, we're all about it. With that being said, so before I let you get out of here, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up, you know, we're getting ready to go ring the bell. Devin will be there. I should be there at Supercard of Honor in Tampa. Let us know what your thoughts are now that you're starting to see, you know, we've seen some of the guys from New Japan that are going to be on that card. You know, you've seen the influx of NWA as well. You know, what are your thoughts going into Supercard of Honor? Is there anything in specific you're looking for? And what do you think about having all these different places all converging on Ring of Honor?
I mean, anytime that you can have all eyes on your product, that's a great thing. You know what I mean? So I welcome all of the athletes, all of the fans, you know, that they bring in. I welcome the challenges of all potential matchups. And for me, I want to be able to have a challenge at Supercard. For me, meaningful matches are an upper to me. Bigger crowds are an upper to me. I look forward to that because I want my opponents to be at their best. So that way, when I beat them, there's no excuses. You know what I mean? I want to beat them at their very best, 100% healthy at the top of their game. So when they lose, they understand that they were in the ring with the baddest champion that you've ever seen.
Whoever it is,
whether it's someone from ROH, whether it's someone from the NWA, whether it's someone from New Japan, which I probably doubt. But if anybody wants to with JNT, I'm here.
Don't catch that Marcus Garvey driver.
Man, it's devastating, bro. Devastating.
I mean, we were just sharing it out off our page earlier, man. You've been wrecking motherfuckers with that thing, man. You've got quite the lineup headed in here to Supercard of Honor. We're getting towards the end of our time. So before we get what you get out of here, is there any last words you got for the people? And before you get out of here, let them know where they can find you on social media.
At Twitter, at Instagram, at Shane216Taylor, ProWrestlingTees.com/ShaneTaylor, all lowercase, all one word. I want to thank everybody who's ever bought a shirt, ever bought a picture, anything like that, ever come out to an event to see me. I appreciate that. Much love and respect. You've allowed me to have an incredible lifestyle for myself and my family. And we are going to keep this rocking. Here's to another 12. Here's to continuing to make history. Here's to continuing to shatter in the glass ceiling. And here is to making sure that the sport will forever be changed because I was in it.
Cheers, brother.
I mean, not much better way you can end that, man. He's ready for 2020. And I don't know about you, but I see some big things from Shane T Promotions, man.
Definitely.
Yes, sir. 100%.
Well, Tony, before we get out of here, let them know where they can find you at. And before I get there, if you need a place to watch Elimination Chamber this weekend,
come on down downtown
Detroit, Buffalo Wild Wings. Oh. We've got the spot. The homies from Breaking Down the Ring will be there. There's not going to be all the giveaways for this one, but I can promise you, if you come out for WrestleMania, the boys from Knockouts and Three Counts have got quite a few pretty cool things that you could win from these things. So if you're looking for something to do this Sunday, make sure you come out. Buffalo Wild Wings, no cover, no nothing. Come eat you some wings, watch some wrestling, check out your boys from Knockouts and Three Counts. And if you're going to be at NXT this Saturday at Royal Oak Music Theater, yep. I will be there.
Boom.
And you should be too. With that being said, you can
check it.
What the fuck? What the hell did you just put on the thing? Oh, hell. Tony, you son of a bitch.
That's a turtle fucking. All right, so anyway, you can find me on social media at Tony Thunder.
Oh, shit. I don't have anything for that. I wasn't.
Fuck your couch. Got you.
You son of a bitch. You've not only stole my shit, you stole my thunder.
That was two turtles fucking.
What the fuck?
He was like,
Oh, my God, dude. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit, N-O-K-O-U-T. Make sure you're following the show at KO3CPod. Shane Taylor does. You should, too. Boom. Make sure you follow us as well. Subscribe.
Justin Timberlake's YouTube. Favorite pro wrestling MMA podcast.
Thank you for letting him know that. Yeah. And
like shout out to Jaden Smith.
Shout out to him, too, because I'll give you this. You talked to him about him so much that I had to go check it out, and I'll give it to you. Dude can go. I'll give
oh,
it.
If Kyle said dude can
He's put him over so many times on this show that I was sitting there at work the other day on my lunch. I'm like, let me see if this shit's even any real good, or is he just talking shit? So I'll give it to you.
All right.
The boy
can go.
I'll give it to you. He can go. And like I said, you should go this Sunday, B-Dubs, Detroit, Michigan. And with that being said, fuck your couch, Tony, even though you stole my shit, even though I stole it from somebody first anyway.
Knock your shit down, Kyle.
Hey, Shane. Our intro music is More, More, More by Punch Deck.